Educators want to stay fresh with literacy instruction, but are so busy with students, they don't always have the time. All year long, Choice Literacy publishes and delivers the best K-12 literacy practices so that educators can grow their students as readers and writers with choice in literacy. Welcome to the Big Fresh Choice Literacy Podcast. I'm Ruth Ayers. Aunt Stephanie and Uncle John live in Hawaii, and they regularly visit the mainland. When they do, they stay for several weeks and roll through thousands of miles as they visit friend after friend in state after state. I am inspired by their friendships, and on a recent visit, I asked Stephanie how she does it, how she stays in touch with so many friends and has unlimited invitations to stay in people's homes. Stephanie laughed and said, "Oh, I just invite myself." "Really? How do you just invite yourself into other people's homes and fill 6 weeks of visits?" Before I could put together a complete sentence, Stephanie continued, "You know I send a lot of Christmas cards, right? People like to stay connected. I'm always commenting on social media posts. It's not a lot, but I leave comments so people know I'm thinking about them." "I always feel embarrassed," I admitted. "I feel like I should do a better job staying in touch and that it's been too long to reach out." "That's silly," Stephanie swatted my hand. "Think about it," she said. "Don't you love hearing from people, even if it's been a while?" "Of course I do." I paused and considered her perspective. "I never think someone should have been in touch sooner. I'm just glad to hear from them. And I feel special because they're thinking of me." It is easier than ever to make connections around the world, but let's not lose sight of maintaining connections. We don't need to make it more complicated than it needs to be. Simply reach out and let someone know they've crossed your mind. We can mail notes to students, shoot a text message to a past student's parent, or reach out to a retired colleague. We can leave a comment on a friend's social media post. This week, we take time to consider the use of visuals to strengthen literacy instruction. Kathy Meir and I discuss this week's content. This week, Kathy Meir and I are back for the second season of the Choice Literacy Podcast. Hi, Kathy. I'm glad you're joining me.
Hi, Ruth. I always enjoy chatting with you.
So this week's theme, we're asking the question, how do visuals strengthen literacy instruction? And one of the things that I was so excited to feature in the Free for All is your and Mandy Robeck's 12th annual 10 for 10 picture book roundup.
Ruth, I always get excited about the picture book 10 for 10 roundup. It happens right in August, and we're always also excited to get started in the new school year. And I'm always amazed by the picture books that other people bring to my attention. And I like to think I have a pretty good handle on picture books, but I went to the library today and picked up 20 new titles. So lots of great books in there from lots of fabulous people who really do quite a bit of reading. So a lot of picture book love.
I love how you give the warning on the roundup about get out your library card and instead of dropping things in your cart, because it can be hard on your wallet.
You know, experience teaches you a lot. And I have spent quite a bit of money on this event. So I've learned to, you know, keep a little money back, but also head to the library and get a good look. But the books are always so fantastic.
It is a great place just to keep current with titles and see what other teachers are using. And it's all around the globe. People are participating. And I love that aspect of it too. You know, Kathy, it reminded me of one of the courses we have on the site called Picture Books and Older Students. And it's designed to be a field experience. And the whole point of it is helping us consider the value of picture books with secondary students. It's a great field experience, which is free to members, but also available to purchase, you know, for those who aren't members.
It's so funny you mentioned that, Ruth, because one of the people following the event on the hashtag on Twitter had gotten in touch with me and asked for picture book recommendations for older students. I think so often they provide just the perfect doorway into some of those bigger topics that secondary students wrestle with. And I thought it was a great question. We usually have people in the community who provide titles that work just in that way. And so this course that you mentioned would be the perfect thing. I'll have to remember to send that information to her as well.
That's great. The connections of this visual literacy and using picture books, it really isn't just for elementary kids. It's for everybody, which was one of the reasons why I pulled Carly Ulmer's article about visual literacy to build writing skills, because she gives a couple examples of how she uses some images, a couple from a picture book and then some like iconic images, and she's using them to help her students, her seventh graders, really hone some of the craft that they need in writing.
Yeah, it was so interesting to read and to go back into that article and to take a look at the way the questions that she asked. I love that she kind of put in the language that she used and the way she really left that very open-ended for kids to enter in from wherever they were. And her piece reminded me quite a bit of an article that was published on the August 6th issue in the Big Fresh by Julie Johnson, where she takes a look at the way images, kids can be taught to use images for their writing. And I just always am thinking about that connection between the reading and the writing. And Carrie Ulmer's piece speaks well to that.
I agree. One of the things that I like about both of those articles is the practical advice that Carly and Julie are giving to teachers about, you know, what do you do after you show the image to kids? And this is then how we can instruct kids so that they can learn to become stronger writers.
Yeah, I think when you think about those two articles together and even the emphasis and the focus of this week's Big Fresh, we're really talking about how we help kids create and understand meaning.
Well, there was an article on the NCTE blog by Trevor Alio, where he's talking about the importance of multimedia media literacy. And there's a quote in that article. It will take a little bit of time to read, but I think it's a great read for anyone who is, you know, just thinking about literacy instruction and the way that visuals matter. And in the article, Trevor is writing about how, you know, print-based goals of traditional literacy are still front and center. And he talks about the importance of that and that English teachers are responsible for a growing number of other related literacy skills, such as media literacy, cultural studies, film criticism, and art. And I'm really glad I took the time to read the article because it just kept expanding my definition and my thinking about literacy, which is what Stella's article did this week. It's a brand new article from Stella Vialba called Lead with Art and Literacy Will Naturally Follow.
I was so excited to see Stella's article. I really appreciated the way that she shared some titles that she likes to begin the year with to help kids to enter in with art and how that opens the door for talk and for kids to enter with language. And there are some fantastic titles in this book list. And I loved Ruth, you know, I guess maybe because I can just hear Stella in my mind, but the way she goes through with some of the things she says to kids to help build that risk-taking and that feeling of safety in the learning community. In the one of the books she recommends, Be a Maker by Katie Howes, the language that she uses when she shares it with kids is, this year we're all going to be makers. We're going to make things we learn, and it's your decision as an artist to decide what it's going to look like. And just giving kids that permission to be who they are in that learning space just seems like a great way to start the year.
Stella has really, I think, honed the craft of book lists on the choice literacy side. I'm really enjoying the way that she's recommending titles, but then giving us some information about them or giving us more of a peek into her classroom. So it's not just a list of books, but she's sharing how she uses them. She also has that article, Picture Books That Affirm and Celebrate Students' Identities. It's linked in the related articles at the bottom of this brand new article. And it's so wise what Stella is doing with book lists.
I think, too, one of the pieces that I always appreciate in Stella's work, and actually there are a million as I sit here and think about it, but I think one of them that catches my attention over and over again is the way she really sets up opportunities that allow for student agency. It's so easy as teachers to kind of find ourselves in that driver's seat and to be looking for ways to actually get our kids in those spaces and to lift their voices as learners. And I feel like all of Stella's work really opens the door for kids to step up and to be who they are and to enter where they are and to continue to grow forward.
It is true. And she also has that article that just came out a couple of weeks ago called Using Art to Bridge Storytelling, where again, she's talking about creating space for kids to notice things about sharing stories and sharing testimonies. And it's everything that she does is really about building student agency so that they see themselves as people who can read and write and really make a difference in the world by using their voices.
You know, Ruth, I was thinking a little bit about kids coming into the classrooms for the first time and sometimes for a long time in our current situation, and thinking just about how much it has to be comforting to be able to come in and to just settle into the space and to feel that safety and to see that opportunity and to gently take those risks and steps. I think it would be very easy in today's climate to get kids in the room and want to figure out what they know and want to figure out what they need. And really, Stella's article really lays that nice path for getting us off to a good start.
It's one of the main reasons why I paired that with Gretchen Schrader's article, where she's sharing just three ways to incorporate drawing in her high school English class. It's exactly what you said, like giving kids an opportunity to express themselves in a way that isn't high stakes. And I really loved Gretchen's article because she shares these three ways that in her high school class, and she teaches AP English to juniors and seniors, and still values the use of drawing or sketches in her classroom. So she talked about the illustrated timeline, the cartoon sequence, and using word art. And I'm really glad that she included photos of all of these in her article because it makes it doable. I can really imagine using all three of these strategies with kids.
It is good that she used images to talk about images. Sorry, pun intended. I just think it really helps you to see what she was doing. And one of the things that struck me, it's no secret that I spend a lot of time in elementary classrooms. But one of the things that struck me about this article, and honestly, I think is always true with choice literacy, is anything I read, I feel like I can apply to what I do in the classroom. And her article was no exception, but also how nice to see it at such a high level of understanding and think about what kids need to bring to that work. And the images really helped with seeing the possibility.
I like that about Gretchen's work too, because it is universal. She gives really concrete examples for her high school class. And I'm always thinking too, Kathy, about ways I can apply that in different situations. In our Leaders Lounge this week, so the part of the site that's really dedicated to literacy leaders, Matt Renwick has a new article called One Powerful Way to Improve Your Strategic Plan. Kathy, his opening made me laugh. I'm just going to read it for our listeners. Matt writes, strategic plans are as common in schools as pencils, white erase boards, and books. What makes strategic plans unique in comparison with the latter resources is that they are often useless. It just made me laugh, the beginning of it, how blunt he is and how authentic he is too.
I laughed as well. And actually, it's funny. I have that part highlighted here with the big note beside it that says fire, exclamation point, because it is so often true. What I appreciated as he goes on is he talks about an approach. Matt has a great way of bringing a complex idea and making it something that you can step yourself through and try. And he talks a little bit about applying a simplistic approach to this complex challenge of really coming up with ways that we might want to improve. And when I go back to Gretchen's article, I kind of think about that was a way she was trying to open a door for new opportunity, help her kids to dig a little deeper in what they were reading. And his article here really would help us as teachers or as teacher teams or as schools to be able to go through and think about something that's kind of on our mind that, you know, maybe is making us crazy or maybe that we want to think more about or maybe that we want to change and go through some steps to really take a hard look at that particular thing we brought to the table and see it from a lot of different angles.
Yes, Matt is so good at that. That what you were describing, this complex idea and helping us see it in a new way. I also value the way he's so well-read and he's taking things that he's reading in different parts of his life and he's applying it to his work as a principal. So a lot of this article was inspired by a New York Times article he had read about thinking of ways to anticipate obstacles and then how to overcome them to accomplish our goals. And so he gives this example, a really clear example, which is his one powerful way to improve your strategic plan. It's a great read. I hope people will tap into that one.
It's funny you say that about his resources because he is so well read. And Ruth, I don't think I ever read something by his that I'm not either chasing a book or chasing an article or chasing more information that he puts right there to help get me on the path to find it. He also mentions in this article a book called Rethinking Positive Thinking Inside the New Science of Motivation. And yes, it is now on my Goodreads track and down list.
Yeah, he just had that article a couple of weeks ago come out called Five Business Books Every Leader Should Read. And I just really loved that article because it was, you know, a different content, but then he was sharing his learning, like what he was learning and how that influenced him as a school leader. But you're right, talking to Matt or reading one of his articles just gives us more books to add to our to-be-read piles.
I think the other thing that struck me about this article is his honesty in pushing through hard things. So Matt is not afraid to talk about his own experience and the way he works through challenges and his reflection as he moves forward. And his example that he uses in this article really helps you to see that piece.
It's true. Matt doesn't pull his punches. The thing that I highlighted out of his article was where he wrote, school improvement is not logical, nor is it linear. There are so many moving parts to our organizations. This is the way he recognizes, you know, it's not this just simple jump through the hoops and it's done, but we're constantly working through it. It's a great read, that article is. I was excited about the coaching minute this week. It's with literacy coach Jen Court, and she's talking about how she supports coaches who are just beginning their work.
Yes. I, first of all, was very excited to see Jen Court on video. I always enjoy listening to what she shares. But thinking about the new coaches who might be stepping into this role for the first time and the way to support them. Additionally, her just talking about the way she connects, coaching can be an isolating position sometimes. It can bring challenges, and you really have to have a lot of interesting ways to think about going at those challenges. And she talks a lot about the different ways she stays connected within her building, to other buildings, to other coaches, within the area, outside the area. And I really think building that sense of belonging as an early coach is such an important piece. And Jen's video really gives some great ways to get started in those important connections.
I'm excited about Jen Court joining the contributor team. She's just starting to write, so we'll start seeing some of her articles here in the next few months on the site. So she's starting to write for the site, but I've watched her work as a literacy coach for a number of years, and I've always been so enamored by the way she's able to build relationships with teachers. She's also really fun to listen to. So when people check her out on that coaching minute, the video, I think they'll really enjoy just listening to her. And it feels like you have a new best friend when you sit down and talk with Jen.
Yes. And I look forward to reading a lot more articles from her, her clarity, her point of view, and her just her way of thinking about the important work we do alongside children and one another. I know that there's lots more good things to come, and I'm excited to hear more from Jen.
We also highlighted Matt Renwick's course about literacy walks for school leaders, for instructional coaches to take a look at. I know people are thinking about doing walkthroughs and the importance of walkthroughs. And Matt really, he just guides us through Matt guides us through what to do during a literacy walk, some of the things to look for, and how to follow up on those literacy walks. He's really clear about how to name things for teachers and how to use literacy walks as a time that is uplifting rather than a scary or fearful thing for a teacher.
This is the perfect time of year to take a look at that course and to really think through those first steps in getting those started in buildings. And Matt has lots of tips in there that I think people will find useful in that work.
Kathy, I was so excited to share that other link there in the Leaders Lounge section. It is from We Are Teachers, and it's 12 videos for school leaders that they can use for staff meetings. It's just a great way to add some energy to the time, you know, to teacher meetings. And I also am excited about it because I know that we teach the way we are taught. And so learning to use videos and visuals in our classroom is something that might be new territory for a lot of teachers, because the visual literacy has changed so much in the last few years. And so this is a great resource for school leaders, for instructional coaches, those who are planning professional learning, to be able to put their fingers quickly and easily on some videos that will help shift the energy of staff meetings.
I'm so glad you mentioned this video link. The Big Fresh is always such a great resource for things that are in the content of the Choice Literacy site, but also great places to stop and to find new resources. And when I saw this video, I thought there would be thousands of instructional leaders all across the nation going, thank you for this quick reminder of this list here. There are lots of good videos there, and your point about using video and with teachers and with one another is a good way to start thinking about how that could look in our classroom. I also just couldn't help but think, wouldn't it be fun to get together with other coaches? Like when I think about Jen Court's point, like those connections are so important, but to share the videos that we use or look for new ones that might work for particular topics and just create a nice resource like this, where people can go in and find videos that would work for different situations. And there's certainly a lot of that reminds me of all the videos within Choice Literacy site, Ruth, that I know as a coach, I used often with teacher teams. And this is another great resource to tab and come back to.
Kathy, I'm glad we took some time to talk about using visuals in our literacy instruction. I do think that it helps strengthen our instruction, and the ideas in this week's Big Fresh, the new articles released, are on point. It's what's happening in schools all across the country, from written by people who are in the field and working right alongside kids. So I hope that it helps stretch thinking. I know it's helping me broaden my thinking about literacy instruction and how visuals will impact that.
I know from the time I saw the topic that was selected for this week and then read through some of the articles, my mind has been spinning, Ruth. I just find myself wanting to think more about this, wanting to talk to my colleagues about this, wanting to dig through and find new resources to really up my game as an instructor, as an educator in using video and images with my kids. It is such a part of the world we live in, and it's nice to be able to take advantage of it and really help engage anyone who's coming to the table.
I'm glad that people have taken the time to listen. And just a reminder that you can continue to follow these conversations on our social media feeds. Kathy, you're doing a lot to help curate those. And so you can find us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook by searching Choice Literacy. At Choice Literacy, we know that you want to be an educator who makes students' lives better through literacy. In order to do that, you need access to comprehensive literacy practices delivered in a way you will actually use. With over 150 in-the-field contributors, we understand the pressure to reach a variety of needs and not enough time to do it, which is why we hold true to workshop tenets like choice and share practical ways to plan and deliver literacy instruction straight to the point of student need. You can find links to all of the articles discussed in the show notes or sign up for the Big Fresh so you can have the links delivered directly to your inbox. Keep growing readers and writers by offering choice in literacy.